Podtacular episode 146, Customs and Creations, for the week of January 22nd, 2008.
If you gaze at me much longer, we might as well exchange fluids!
Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You're about to hear what the Halo Nation had to say about this week's topic at Podtacular.com to help you dominate at Halo. So strap on your Spartan armor and grab a battle rifle, because it's time to finish the fight.
It's come down to just you and me.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
And I'm True Dark Fusion.
All right, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, welcome, man.
Thank you.
Now, Two Life Crew, True Dark Fusion, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where exactly you come from, because you're actually part of a site that is actually in tune with what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, I'm actually from 4chub.com. And obviously from the name, we work with Forge and Custom Games.
Nice.
We've awesome. Been around since the launch of Halo, and we actually started out pretty small. We started out on a WordPress blog, believe it or not.
Haven't we all?
it was pretty shady place, the depths of the WordPress blog.
Well, we started out on a blogger, so, you know.
Yeah.
So what exactly are you guys doing right now with Forge? I mean, is there any secret project that you guys have discovered, like tricks that you've discovered and you're utilizing them now, and you're going to come out with this huge map that everybody's going to love and worship forever?
Well, we have several articles that deal with forging techniques. It's called Forging 101. We publish it pretty frequently, and it always seems like people are discovering new crap to do in Forge. And originally, there was a bunch of stuff that we found, some stuff that we brought from other people, but we like to create these tutorials for other people to view and use. And just recently, Phlegm Productions started making videos for our tutorials, video tutorials. And they're starting at the beginning and going through as we're adding more artists.
That's awesome.
That is really great, man. It's a great service you guys do for the community, for sure, man.
Absolutely. Now, how involved has Bungie been with you guys, if at all?
Oh, believe it or not, they've been actually pretty involved.
Awesome.
When we revamped our site and moved away from the crappy blog, I think the second day we had the new web server up and the new site, Frankie actually registered on our blog and he put a plugin for his maps, and he's like, "You guys are really going to enjoy these maps. I've been watching what you've been doing. You're going to love them. I can't wait to see what you're going to do with them." So he's kind of trying to pump us up for Foundry. Then after that, it just kind of took off. I believe a couple days later, he featured us on Bungie, and that was back in December, I believe. And then back in January, we created a best of 2007 maps. And basically what we did was we put up a ballot for people to determine what the best maps were that were posted on 4chub. So the way it worked was anybody could post, they could nominate a map, and then any additional nominations that the map got, it counted as a vote. It could be any map, any user map, or a map created by our staff. As long as it was posted on the forums or 4chub, it could be voted for.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, nice.
I guess Bungie really liked our list, and I believe it was Lukums that featured us.
Mm-hmm.
And then later that same week, Sketch created Forging Foundry, and we've actually been pretty involved in that group, and we've been helping out people in his Bungie group, and it's been interesting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Fumo, didn't we say that Forge is going to create this whole new community on its own?
Oh, absolutely, man, definitely. But, you know, you guys are the ones that really did the work, and you're really to be commended on that, man. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to seeing you guys in the Hump Day Challenge soon.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I've been talking with the guys at Bungie, and the hump day with us is going to kind of move away from the standard hump day where the team that they're playing against is focused on beating Bungie. I mean, that's the cool thing to do, beat Bungie. What the understanding I have of it is we're going to play Forge maps made by the Forge community, and they're going to be balanced, and basically it's just a way to show the kind of things that can be created in Forge.
Nice.
It's more of a relaxed environment than a standard pump day.
Cool.
Sweet. Well, with Lucums, it's never standard. So be
aware.
Yeah,
he brings a new level to competition.
Yeah, don't let him boot anyone out of your party, man.
Ooh. Nah. He will beat up a dead cat just because it's there. I've seen him do it. So awesome. Oh, yes, so dude. is there quickly before we continue, is there a Forge map that you can straight out of the top of your head call your favorite?
My personal favorite or just kind of the general community?
Your personal favorite.
It would probably have to be the Citadel by our staff member, Shock Theta.
Mm-hmm.
The map is so incredibly complex. I still get confused by it. It adds so many elements, and it's extremely strategic. It's built on Foundry. It's literally this huge complex, and it's played on objective game types like capture the flag, assault, territories.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different objectives that the attackers have to complete to get further into the map.
Awesome.
Like, there is a shield door that you can jump up to, but there's a gravity lift blocking it. So you have to go around the long way, like a really long way, to get to the gravity lift and blow it up in order to have your team progress, obviously, in a faster way.
Hmm. That's awesome. That's very creative. And what's the name of that game? Forge? So that people...
The Citadel.
Citadel. And that's from Mass Effect, am I right?
No, it is not, but it is based on some concepts from Mass Effect.
Okay.
So I guess awesome. You could say it's inspired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Because there is something called the Citadel. Yep. Awesome, awesome.
Now, on Forge Hub, people can find, basic and advanced Forge tutorials and maps and videos and all kinds of different stuff, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Cool. We also hold community events. Every 2 weeks, we hold an event called Thank God It's Forge Day, where we open sign-ups to the public, and staff members host parties, and it's a four-hour event where we play custom games and maps created by the community. Hmm. And it's like the big cool thing to do on Forge Hub. The list usually fills up in a day or two. It's everybody like sits at the computer and waits to sign up when they know it's coming. It's ridiculous. You'll see it hit like the fourth page within like 5 minutes.
Wow. Hmm.
Awesome. And we're starting to set up contests with prizes, obviously, Microsoft prizes, Microsoft point prizes. We're going to have competitions. So we've been discussing doing a 2v2 tournament on a Forge map that we create specifically for the tournament, and the top team would get like 3,200 Microsoft points. Each team would get like their own point card.
Mm. Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
That's a lot of points.
I actually played a Forge map and, Yes, Foundry, where they replicated a map from Rainbow Six 3.
Yeah.
Nice. Big, City Street Large. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Hmm. Comes quite close, but awesome, awesome.
Yeah,
sorry about that. Yeah,
it's okay. With these new tutorials that have been coming out, we found a way to like overlap objects, which allows you to pretty much bend any Forge object to your need. And the maps that I've been seeing coming out, they're getting increasingly complex.
Interesting.
Like I've seen an entire building starting to arise with tight corners. A new map just came out tonight where they made ventilation shafts. And it's an infection game, and the zombies run around in the ventilation shafts, and you could hear them running around in the base, and you see the motion sensor, and it's really cool.
Wow.
Personally, I've actually been working on a recreation of Crash from Call of Duty 4.
Nice.
Nice. That's awesome. I played one also where there was a racetrack that, and it was submerged in midair on Foundry, and it actually curved to an angle, the track.
Yeah.
So there was a bunch of mongoose lined up in the bottom. Hmm. So that was pretty intuitive. I mean, I was pretty surprised. I was like, wow, how the heck did they do this? Almost looked like a roller coaster track.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Well, you guys are definitely doing a great job.
Thanks.
So Fumo Meister, Mr. My cat broke my Guitar Hero guitar. Before we start, I mean, I get this message from Fumo Jive, and he's like, dude, my Guitar Hero 3 guitar is broken at the neck. I got to do a Frankenstein glue job or something.
Yeah, he was telling me about that.
How did it come?
I was saying I have to do some crazy glue surgery, and I better hurry up and get these screws back in before my cat eats them.
The cat from hell.
Dude, yeah, my cat is psycho. Joey B knows, man.
Yep.
No doubt.
Yeah, so what do we have in store for today's show?
Well, this is the Customs and Creations show, so it's really appropriate that we have True Dark Fusion here from Forge Hub to help us out with this one and talk about these customs that the community sent in. So we got customs from the Halo Nation that they sent in on podtacular.com. We usually post a send-in stuff for this week's show, post on Monday nights, and people send in stuff around there. So this is the stuff that was sent in the meantime, and these are custom games and Forge edits that people sent in. So I guess why don't I start off with the first one here from DaBenny17. He says, firstly, I don't know... He's talking about the previous show with the anus armor. He's saying,
yeah.
I didn't know you guys loved anus armor. I thought you all new hunters had to poop from somewhere. Anyway, during the small gap between podcasts, I've been hanging out with my homies, and we had some fun with High Ground using a Wraith and my mate, my friend Sergeant Saunders, sat on the turret in the Wraith while I lifted it up in the Oracle mode. I put the Wraith just outside the invisible wall that keeps you from leaving the map. I was still holding him in place when I turned back into Spartan mode. The Wraith was suddenly launched at me with amazing speed and splattered me. I got the sexy man voice shouting, "Suicide!" And a little note at the bottom of my screen saying, "You splattered yourself." Nice. I didn't know you could do that. thanks for making such awesome podcasts. Keep on fragging Hunter's anus armor with Kermit the Frog on the Hunter's shoulders.
Eat him!
Nice.
Wow, that's...
You splattered yourself. Cool. Huh. I didn't know it said that. Huh?
Was it Fabio? You splattered to yourself.
With such a long hair.
Not that I can talk. Yeah, with his long blonde hair flowing in the wind.
Flowing in the wind. Dude, you took the mouth right out of my words, man.
Yeah, well, let's move along to Shotgun Friendly, who, along with his buddy Nene, sent in a submission. Says, hey guys, it's the gun that's got a plan, Shotgun Friendly. Do you really consider yourself a gun? Anyway, before I start talking about my new Forge map, I would just like to give a note to my newly updated Valkyrin map, which is my rethink of Valhalla. It is now on its third version now with more spawn balancing. Some goodies for those who are willing to look around for them. The map is based for teamwork, as just controlling the top hill no longer works.
Wow, it's like the prologue.
Prologue to a long epic novel.
I wish I had Mirachi playing the piano while I was saying this. So, it says, getting past that, let's get to my newest Forged blessing called Rat's Race. Rat's Race is just what its name implies. It's a race around the rat's nest. And speaking of rats, I have one anyway. The map is still in its beta form, but I still have... not had enough tests done to say that it is bulletproof. Getting to the map itself, okay, I don't know what you did here, but okay, you play the map with normal rocket race game type. You start out right next to the mongoose. Most people will not notice, but everyone spawns right next to each other. Oh, that's pretty interesting. So far, I've yet to have a problem with the spawn like this. The race map is done using the oval track of Rat Race. As soon as you hit the first turn, you will be out in the open side of Rat's Nest where the pelican is. On the track will be the first obstacle, the flaming pit of falling fusion coils and propane tanks. Oh, pretty interesting. For the sake of keeping contestants alive, shield doors are placed on the right side of the track, or the open area, so if you get blown towards it, it will just jump off the shield walls in your mongoose. When you hit the next turn, you will hit the first checkpoint. I am still quite skeptical of this checkpoint system, as I still think some flaws are in it, but I have yet to test it thoroughly. After you hit the checkpoint and make the turn, you will run into a man cannon and falling fusion coils in this part of the map. I can jump. Wait. I call it the jump of luck. Take the man cannon and fly over the fusion coils or smack straight into them. Wow, pretty violent. If you land If you land, okay, I'm going to improvise here. Then you make a turn and reach another main cannon. Jump only to this one is over the barrier, which separates the start spawn from the finish line. Make the jump, and there you have a finished lap on Rat's Race. If you wish to download the beta version, it is in my file share. Anyways, time to finish up, and shouts out to whoever hasn't gotten a shout out recently and deserves one, as I know many people out there do. Okay, awesome. Well,
nice.
Minus, you know, the minor grammatical errors here. Yeah. I kind of get the drift of what you're trying to create here, and it does sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I would like to try it and check out them devastating fallen fusion coils.
Hitcher, have you messed with race maps at all?
Not personally, but okay. We do have a race map that we featured on our website. The reason why we usually don't feature race maps or even deal with them is because of the honor system. And we try to base all of our maps out of eliminating the honor system because it kind of messes with maps and makes them unprofessional.
Hmm.
But this map, it's called Bungie 500. He set it up so that there's teleporters on man cannons where the checkpoint is. So if you go through it on foot, it sends you into you don't get the points, first of all. And it sends you into a room with exploding fusion coils. So then you get a penalty too, a death penalty.
How?
Yeah, it's built on Foundry and it has like a loop, like a horizontal drive that you can go on.
Hmm.
It's extremely well built. It's the best racing map I've ever seen, and I'm not a huge fan of racing maps.
Wow.
Hmm. Awesome.
Dang, man, I gotta check out Forge Hub, man. I'm ready. I'm pumped to go over there and download some maps. That's cool. Well, I think you're up next, man.
All right, let's move on. So we got a question from Penguin Smacker. He says, I have a question about Forge. I have seen many created maps where people have made things float in the air without any help at all by grav lifts and the like. Does anyone know how to do that? Because it stumps me. Thanks for helping me out, and go podtacular, REC Glens. Penguin Smacker. Well, I think I could field that one. There's
definitely
a couple methods to float things. The first one would be, if you're in Foundry, first off, it's easiest. The way you do it is you put a box down or a crate or something, and you put out whatever you want to float on top of it, and then after that you delete the crate underneath. But some objects don't float, like if you put a race on top of the crate and you deleted that crate, the race would stay suspended, but if you were to shoot it, it'd fall.
Hmm.
But if you were to put another box that's in Forge on top of that and you delete it and you shoot it, it wouldn't fall. Now, on older maps, if you were to do this with crates, it usually wouldn't work. So what you would have to do is float a teleporter, and then you'd place the box on top of it. So that's usually how, like, on Last Resort, that's when you would see floating maps. It's because that's why there were teleporters underneath.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. And then the second, more preferred method that I actually like to do is, if you're holding an object in Forge, and you pause the game, save the new map, and you end it, then you load it back up, the object will be floating.
Nice.
So.
Now, does that get around awesome. The problem with shooting and falling?
It depends what kind of object it is again.
Okay, so the same
like
rules
the
apply?
Older map, yeah, like on the older maps, pretty much the general rule is teleporters and weapon holders, they float. Mm-hmm. And awesome. You could also suspend fusion cores that way, but they'll spawn in the air and fall, and that's how people do that. But on the newer maps, like crates and other interesting things, fence walls.
Now I read this tutorial shortly after you posted it, and I understand what's cool about that is that you can place an object at whatever exact angle that you want to place it at, right?
Correct.
Hmm.
And actually, one of our members just discovered a new way to do it the other day. So we don't have a Forging 101 on it yet, but apparently the way you do it is you have the host end the game, and then right when he hits end, you spawn the object, and then in that 3 second period before the game ends, that's when it makes it float. I'm sure there's a save or something in there. I gotta still review it, but it's interesting. But personally, I wouldn't like it because you can't be precise. Because you have about 3 seconds to place your object. And,
right. Yeah, but I guess that might help if you have a team that's really working together, because you could have, like, multiple people place objects at the same time. Yeah. So you could just save having to save and come back, save and come back, save and come back. But I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I remember how it was. It's not, he doesn't end the game. He starts a new round. So then that way you don't have to keep ending the game over
nice.
And over again.
Cool.
Hmm. Awesome. Okay. All right, Mr. Foo.
Well, we got one from Nightlight82, who says, first of all, thanks for reading my post, and I love the show. Thank you. So the new maps, get, thank you for saying you're welcome. You're too kind. You're a gentleman and a scholar and a pillar in the community. So the new maps give so many great opportunities for forgerers to do amazing things, plus all the new items. One of my ideas that I recently started to build on Standoff is the Tower of Terror. So basically, each of the bases it fortifies with walls and a great vicinity of weapons, and in the middle is a brawl area. That's the tower with stairs wrapped around it, and you have to get the bomb from the inside of the tower and throw a grav lift to get out and back to your base. I haven't had time to complete the map yet, but it'll be finished in the next week. The trick to this map is to blitz the tower, so even if you die, someone else can get the bomb. Thanks again for reading this, and hope you guys will play it when I'm done. My gamer tag is. And it's a lot of leet speak with ones and numbers and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but it's basically Nightlight 82. But check out the show notes for the full name.
All right.
And he says, "Keep on kicking, awesome. Badonkadonk."
Okay. Badonkadonk. All righty. Well, thanks for that one, Nightlight. And we're gonna move on here by Heavenly Yeti. Okay.
I'm just reading the first line.
So Heavenly Yeti has something to say. I have forged something that could well be the Omega Foundry, a battlefield that everyone only dreams of having the honor to fight on. It is steeped in myth and legend, spoken of only in whispers by storytellers, prophets, and Kahuna ninjas. I'm a ninja.
Well,
I am talking, of course, about Chuck E. Cheese, my brainchild, my
masterpiece
of Halo 3.
Naturally.
If you've ever been in Chuck E. Cheese during a birthday party, yes, it is an epic battlefield.
It is.
Anyway, it simulates what would occur if you gave kids guns and turned them loose in the part in the play too. In other words, it's Call of Duty 4 Mayhem, but more confined. My new version, version 2, adds more hallways and a second floor. It is also set up for all game types, so get creative. I'm developing version 3, but it will take a while. It'll be a while, but it will be epic when the third one is released. Trust me.
Wow.
Also, for anyone who doesn't know, I recently captured Nene. Another Nene sighting. Who knows the whereabouts of Ling Ling's head? So wait a minute, Nene, you have something to do with Ling Ling's head? So what should I do? Okay, shout out to Masashi Kishimoto, Lono, Mihi13, and the PGR staff. Hey, PGR, woo! Anyway, keep on fragging Stuntmont in an orange box of portals leading to Embry Square. Oh, and he says, well, Yeti says, question for the guy. What will be the one thing you would change about Forge? Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I actually have an answer prepared.
Awesome.
I just talked about this on our podcast. I would change Foundry. Simply put, I would change Foundry.
Wow.
Really?
Stupid
Why?
Stupid trains annoy the crap out of me. And the curved walls. Just gave us a box. I just want a box. A box.
Give the man a box.
No, all 90 degree angles. I mean, those cranes have messed up so many Forge works that I've seen. They get in the way. The little bases in the back get in the way. Just give us a huge box.
So what exactly would happen with these cranes?
Well, usually if you're building a tall building, they might impede a wall or a ceiling or something. And then the walls on Foundry, they're kind of curved. So if you're building a building up against the wall, all of a sudden you have a wall curving into your building.
Oh, okay.
And it screws it up bad.
Crap.
That
and also
sucks.
Yeah, there's also some fences on Foundry. If you look directly at them, it like drops your frames per second down to like 10.
Ooh.
I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that.
No,
I've never had.
I don't know whose idea it was to drop the frame rate when you're looking at these frickin' fences, but...
Well, I'm sure it wasn't intentional. Like, I got an idea. Let's drop the frame rate when we look at the fences. Yeah, great idea.
Dude, let's mess with everybody's head. How can we do that? Let's drop the frame rate.
Yeah, nice.
Sweet.
Well, we have these ugly-ass fences in the corner. Maybe. Maybe if we make them even more ugly by dropping the frame rate if you look at them.
You heard it here first. Forge Hub calls Halo 3 ugly.
Ah, time to blog.
Yep. Quote me.
Too late, you said Team. It. It's down in it's in stone.
You're plotting to kill me. What am I to do?
That would have been me.
Nice. Hey,
all I wanted was a box.
Okay, hey, you mentioned PGR, JVB. Can you tell us about that, dude?
All right. Well, PGR is a short name for the Post Game Report.
Project Gossip.
Well, yeah, technically. But I had dots. The Post Game Report is a show that I host along with George from Arrowpaws.com.
Nice.
It's pretty much a community podcast, kind of like what Podtacular is. But we focus on all games, Nintendo Wii's, PlayStation 3, whatever. I mean, whatever we decide to talk about. And it also involves the members in the forums. And, you know, we try to keep things somewhat interesting and, you know, try to have a lot of fun and do a lot of prizes. So, I mean, it's not game specific, which might turn some people off. And it's also not structured like most podcasts. It's almost kind of free flowing and happy with a lot of happy trees. So if you have a chance, check it out at, talkingaboutgames.com. It's the Post Game Report. And, you know, we're going to do some interesting contest coming up.
Cool.
And of course, I'll keep you all posted.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
very cool. Let's see. Well,
we've got quite a few people from Podtacular who have decided to join the forums there. And I mean, it's right. Talking about games.com is pretty much Achievement Junkie and Uncle Gamer, and their forums are just combined into one website now. So everybody's sharing the forums and getting to know each other. So it's everybody there pretty much knew each other to begin with. So, I mean, you know, Podtacular members have always gone to these different websites. So it's nothing different. It's just a different name.
Uh-huh. Sounds interesting. I should check it out.
Yeah, you should.
Oh, I'll check it out.
Or else I'm going to get the Cloverfield rat I have in my kitchen after you.
Dude, he's chasing around. Yeah, JV, you're
about Chuck E. Cheese. That guy was talking about Chuck E. Cheese. I'm sure you'd love to play that and shoot the huge rat.
JV was chasing around this rat earlier, and he was telling his wife to back him up with a shotgun or something.
No, it was chasing me, man. I was actually playing with Phil101, I believe is his gamer tag, and all of a sudden you hear me and my wife go, whoa!
Dang.
Jumped out of the kitchen and then went back inside, and I looked at it, I was like, oh my god, that thing is big.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't know they had rats like that in Florida, but man.
Man, between the guitar-eating cats and the giant rats, you guys have two going.
That would be a pay-per-view event.
Official zoo of Podtacular. Now opening kangaroos.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event. Let's get ready to rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble. In the blue corner, we have Mickey.
Weighing in at 35 pounds. It's the biggest rat in history.
There is no slice of cheese he cannot eat. No cat he can't beat.
He's otherwise known as the Headless Statue of Liberty. It's Ratzilla!
Ratzilla! And in the red corner, sniffing catnip. And eating a guitar.
He'll show up behind you when you least expect it.
Yeah.
He can run on walls. Climb furniture.
Up next is the DDR pad.
You got served. Yeah.
Son.
Can I his cheeseburger?
Did you just talk? No, meow. Meow. And that's the rat.
Dude, you're a rat. Idiot.
I mean, weak, weak, weak.
Like anyway. The Chick-fil-A cows there. All right,
man,
well,
if we were writers in Hollywood.
Was that?
Oh, man.
Man, if we were writers in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we'd make the craziest movies ever. Still make better movies than U-Bowl, though.
We'd be like, dude, I got a great idea. We put snakes on a plane.
We hire Samuel Jackson, and he does the rest for us.
We don't even have to write anything. Make it funny.
Dude, I've seen snakes on a train.
Snakes on a train?
Yep.
For the movie. I was going to rent it, but I couldn't bring myself to
Yeah, me too. I was like, hell no.
Have you seen Snakes on Anthony Bourdain?
Aww. He actually ate them.
Cooked in a nice lemon sauce.
Delicious. Absolutely delicious. Anyway, whoa. You notice them cooking shows, whenever they taste what they just cooked, they go, mmm.
Yeah.
My God, this is delicious. Oh, God.
They never eat anything and just, like, spit it out and go, oh, God, what is this?
What the hell was I thinking about? This thing sucks. Cut, cut, cut.
Hey, who put dish soap in my souffle?
Who urinated in the soup again?
That is not funny, Joe. You're fired, man.
Good one,
you left me on the camera. Think it's funny? I know where you live.
Oh, man. I would just love that to happen.
Dang, man. That's pretty cool, dude. Want someone to urinate in their soup?
Who's the guy that's always going, bang?
Oh, yeah. Emerald bang. Bam, dude.
There you go. Emerald Live. I want him to sip some soup and go, bam! That is awful. Holy crap.
That is some disgusting soup.
Who urinated in my soup? That was a poor Brooklyn accent. But...
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not Emerald. What happened?
Yeah, I kind of confused Emerald with my friend Ernie. Anyway.
Anyway, and welcome back to the show.
Yeah.
On next episode.
Yeah. More about your soup.
Who loses his hat?
Oh, not the dog. Oh, sorry about that.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we should probably get moving on.
Cats versus rats, round two.
Nah.
Okay, so anyway, we got banana a question.
Yeah, okay, wait. Okay, banana split does infinite money cheats. Does this cheat also allow you to place infinite amounts of the same item? Can I place 300 crates on one map?
All right.
No, you cannot.
This warrants some explanation here.
Yes, yeah, do so.
This is like the next big thing going around, and I'm probably going to post a 4101 on it tomorrow. We'll see. Depends how busy I am.
Cool.
But this unlimited money glitch is insane. It's going to totally revolutionize Forge. And I don't know who it was discovered by, but apparently you could put every single weapon, every single object, anything that you want on the map and build with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
Do you think this is a legitimate glitch, or was it somewhat hidden for somebody to find it and kind of make things interesting?
It's been kind of staring us in the face all along. There's a way to make stuff instantly respawn on the map. The way you do that is if you're holding an object, you hit X, then there's a runtime maximum, and you can set that to a certain number. Whatever number you set it to, that's the number of that item that will always be on the map.
Hmm.
And awesome. I guess the way you set up the unlimited money glitch is you place everything on the map you think you're going to use, and you set the runtime maximum full on every single item. You save the game, you back out, and then you load the game back up, and you're going to have all that money that you just spent on all the objects, and the objects will be on the map. So at that point, you just keep placing objects, do the glitch again, save, quit. Then once you have everything on the map you need, which is probably everything, you start building your map, and you're good as gold from that point. The only issue with the glitch that's been discovered so far is if you put too many objects in one space, there's a lag.
Hmm.
Like, things will become a solid mass if you put them all in one pile.
Oh, wow.
And the other issue is if you delete something, it breaks the glitch and you can't put the items on the map again, the ones that you just took off. So don't delete anything till you're done. That's my suggestion.
Oh.
Hmm.
And one of our users actually created a canvas for the map, which already has everything already on the map. So I'm sure you guys could probably throw a link up to that after the show.
Absolutely.
Probably be appreciated awesome. To the community.
And this is on yeah. Foundry, right?
Yes, it's on any map.
Oh.
And to, I kind of went around Banana's question. No, you cannot place 300 crates on the map. You only can place the number that they give you. But you can place every other object on the map, too. You can't run out of money.
Wow. Yeah. Do you think this will... Let's remember Halo 2 for a second. Do you think this will have a negative effect on Forge?
Not really, but... People have to remember there's a reason why Bungie put the budget in place. Mm-hmm. Like, if you use every single weapon and stuff on the map, and say you build a vertical four-story building, there's going to be a crap load of lag since everything's literally piled on top of each other. Just because awesome. You don't have a budget anymore doesn't mean you don't have to watch how you're spending your money.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
That's interesting.
So, yeah. that's, I mean, you know people are going to take the time to do this. And if it's going to help, it's going to advance Forge, I mean, I'm all for it.
Definitely.
And if you're too lazy to do it, we have the canvas for you.
Nice. But the canvas is on Foundry, right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the canvas is on Foundry.
Okay. Okay, but, cool. Nice.
I guess really the new maps and maybe Last Resort, I would say, are the only ones that really are used widely for Forge, because they have the best stuff.
Okay. That's
Last
cool.
Resort used to be used for, like, every map, but it's kind of stopped now that the download content maps are out.
Okay.
All right, well, cool. That's a super cool tip, man. I'm definitely going to check that out. Check out that link once the show's over, for sure. Well,
so
we've got one from...
Long term.
Yeah.
Your turn?
Whatever. Well, we got one from Plasma Grenades. He says, "Hey, guys, this is Plasma Grenades. I have some tips for making a good mongoose jump on standoff. On one of the circle areas with the four ramps, place a bridge. After that, stack some double boxes, starting at one, and rotate another bridge so it slants up from the first bridge to the top of the box. After placing that bridge, delete the box. Stack more and more boxes farther from the first bridge and continue to make a higher ramp. Make sure that the slope doesn't increase too much. Do a practice run to make sure the mongoose doesn't get slowed down after each new bridge. It also helps to place a few bridges in front of the ramp to help people line up for the ramp. Have the side with the edges that slants up so that it's harder to fall off." Okay. "For extra distance on the jump, place a man cannon at the top of the last bridge. Keep on fragging mongoose with trip mines. Plasma." Cool.
Awesome.
So that's like the mega ramp, like the jump on the Grand Canyon or something, Evel Knievel.
Definitely. And now with the save game features, you can do all kind of tricks and save it.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have a self-biography here by Asian Dude.
Swear to God, this is like half
it
a page.
30 chapters long.
He's like, "It all started when I was born."
It includes a prologue and an epilogue.
Yeah.
And it comes in three volumes. Actually, the prologue and the epilogue have their own volume.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow.
Well... Clear my throat here and get started.
I want to get some water.
Get a catheter or something.
He says, "I have two maps that I've played that are pretty fun. I didn't create them. They're both infection types. The first one is called Tunnel 3.0, and the second one is Fat Kid. I don't have the new maps yet. Hope to get them soon." Okay. He goes, Tunnel 3.0 is played on Last Resort on the Tunnel 3.0 map. The more people there are, the more fun it is. The creator of the map has made two other older versions of Tunnel, hence the name Tunnel 3.0. Anyway, Tunnel is called Tunnel because there is a floating tunnel on the beach. It is made of those big boxes that have a little hole through them. Don't remember what they're called. Containers? Anyways, the humans start in the water away from the tunnel and have to run to the tunnel. This map was called Jaws when it was first made for this very reason. There are fusion coils that drop from the air as the humans try to go to the tunnel. The humans have SMGs and needlers, so they can propel each other forward by shooting at each other with needlers." Okay, I guess team kills is not on. Okay, he answers my question. Friendly fire is turned off. The humans will then reach the other side of the beach, which is littered with mongoose. Fusion coils, propane tanks, and on occasion, an occasional turret. Excuse me, clearing my throat. Usually, they ignore them. They aren't very helpful, except for the turrets. But it still isn't wise to get to those either. You'll see why. The humans will then see a large structure underneath the tunnel, which appears to be a bunch of boxes with some fusion coils near them. They shoot the fusion coils and they shoot the fusion coils and it scatters the boxes, revealing a teleporter. Sneaky, sneaky. They go through the teleporter and find themselves at the top of the tunnel. They then have to jump over some barriers on the top of the tunnel to reach the end of the top. Okay. At the end, there are four weapon holders with instantly respawning weapons. There's a shotgun, battle rifle, sniper rifle, and beam rifle. They pick and choose. At the very end of the top of the tunnel, they can drop down onto some boxes, which they can use to go into the tunnel. Some of them choose not to and risk their lives in the open, sniping the zombies that come. One of the boxes has a missile pod, which one of them might take. At the entrance of the tunnel, there are some trip mines. Once inside, the tunnel is blocked by some pallets, which are designed to slow down the zombies who can decide to go in the tunnel or to serve as a warning for the humans inside the tunnel to when the zombies are coming. The humans bash through the pallets and wait. But what about the zombies? They start with two members and have four spawn points on the other side of the stage. This is to prevent spawn camping by the humans, which was annoying if you played version 1.0.
Yeah.
Anyway, the zombies have 300% speed and 50% gravity, a sword and a hammer. They have no shields either. Again, friendly fire is turned off. There are two teleporters in the zombies area designed to go to the human spot. The zombies can get to the tunnel by running and jumping. They teleport far enough away to have to exercise a bit to get to the humans. The fast zombies sometimes can kill some humans before they reach the tunnel. The zombies aren't killed by the humans before they reach the tunnel. Then they can either go through the teleporter to the top of the tunnel or proceed to try to knock down the tunnel with their hammers. Usually
teleporter camping.
I'm gonna get myself one of those.
Yeah, there's a dude teleporter camping on the top of the tunnel. So it's smart to use that. The humans have to then hold off. The containers respawn after a while, so the humans can still get back in. There's some secrets to this map, but I don't think I should reveal them. The humans will find out soon enough. There are six rounds, I think, but you can change that.
Wow, I think we should stop at volume one right there, because
wow,
it must have taken him over half an hour to type all this stuff, man. This is quite quite lengthy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can read the second half, which is about Fat Kid. How about me when I was younger? And
I'm not fat, a big bone.
You can go on the show notes and read what he has to say about Fat Kid, but he does say
a lot.
But thank you for, he goes, hope you read this, keep on fragging those dudes who spend their free time forging, creating new maps, and making the Halo community better. So frag them with love. Peace. Asian out. Well, right. Thank you, Asian dude. We apologize for not reading the rest, but we have to move along because we're running out of time.
Move along like I think you should.
Sorry about that.
Dude, schizophrenic.
Yep.
Is that Guitar Hero?
I honestly don't know what to say after that.
Rendered speechless.
Oh man, I have a tendency.
I was just staring at the screen, and I think I like fell asleep or something.
Got hypnotized like a zombie.
I'm a zombie.
Oh, this is so intoxicating.
Intoxicating. I'm wasted. All right, well, I think you are up, True.
Yes, I am. Jay Dizzle says, "Hey guys, Jay Dizzle here. I'm a new listener, and so far I love what you guys are doing." All right, so anyway, me and my friend made a zombies game called The Last Stand. It's on the level Foundry. The zombies start on the back wall, and there's two parallel walls that go straight up to the human base. The base is loaded with rockets and needlers and fuel rod guns. The zombie has the lowest possible gravity and the lowest walking possible speed, but he has four times overshield. OMG! There's also two ghosts near the zombie spawn that the humans can get into. The objective is for the zombies to push his way to the human base and take them out. Duh. Anyways, that's my map. If anyone wants to check it out, it will be in my file share within the next 2 weeks. Keep up the good work and keep on fragging man cannons.
Nice.
Interesting. I wonder if that's balanced, though. Sounds a little one-sided.
Yep. He also has something else that he says here. I don't know if you want to read the second half of that one.
Go for it, man.
Go ahead.
True.
Do it.
Hello.
True Life Crew.
What's up?
Doom, 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 doom. Dude, Dude, that's like, we can't even, like, make any jokes about that, because then we get into their songs, and it's like...
Yeah, no, then we go on, and stop rapping, and pooping and popping.
It's true, that's quite the fight.
Oh, beatboxer.
Yep. Yeah, I was never very good at it. I pretty much just spit all over the place, and ew, stop spitting on me.
Your monitor now is a new feature.
Just sort it out with a spit.
So do you want to read, do you want to continue reading his, the rest of his submission, or you feel we should move on?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, we kind of got a funky thing in the show notes here. It says, he also says, and then it continues on, so.
Alright, I'll keep going. Hey, Podtacular, Jay Dizzle here with a pretty sweet custom game. Okay, so the level is Sandtrap, and there's four Banshees in the middle of the map. The four people have to get to the Banshees and try to kill the opposing team, but the Banshees can't use the bombs or the lasers, they can only splatter them. While the Banshees are trying to do that, there's an armory across where the Banshees spawn. In it, there's brute hammers, shotguns, and brute shots, along with the other weapons. There's also mongooses that people can ride around the map. The objective is to try and splatter the other team with the Banshees. We'll be on my file share soon. Keep up the amazing work. And keep on fragging trucks.
That sounds kind of cool. Like to have like Banshee versus Banshee trying to splatter each other. That'd be kind of bizarre.
I don't think it's Banshee against Banshee. I think there's people on the ground and they have to hit them.
So that's kind of like a Frogger thing almost, or a couple other ones.
Yeah, kind of like Banshee Wars, like instead of Warthog Wars.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Nice. Okay, well, I guess I'll go next here. We got Burning Ot Cell, who says, something I find strange is if you press up on the D-pad while holding a Warthog directly above you, it pushes you away and you fly across the map until you hit the invisible wall or something else. But if you drop a crate bundle the same way, it crushes you and you die. I'm sorry I can't show any file shares of this. I don't have Xbox Live Gold membership. Do you know what he's talking about, True?
Yes, actually. There's different types of invisible walls, and one is called an elastic wall, where if you glitch something out of the map, like if you push something out into the invisible wall, if you let go of it, it will fling back at you.
But nice.
There's different kinds of invisible walls. There's death barrier walls, there's normal invisible walls, and there's elastic. The death ones are the ones if you try to glitch through them, you die, obviously. And then the normal ones you can glitch through, and once you get through those, you can run around. So that would be like the floor platform on Snowbound that you can glitch under. Or the elastic walls, which we see here, that can kill you if you push a Warthog or something else through the wall, it'll go flying back at you.
Nice.
I'm not sure why the crate doesn't fly back, but I guess it's just the physics engine.
That should make some entertainment suicides. I'm going to go to Fish. P-H-I-S-S-H. Fish.
Fishy Fish.
All right. Fish says, hey guys, I just finished playtesting all the different variants on a map I created called Ring of Fire. Anyway, Ring of Fire. I don't want to know. Anyway, it is set up for objective gameplay and shines for Slayer games. A ring is created in the center by crates and shield doors with rockets in the center. Here's the funny part. Incendiary grenades and man cannons surrounding the ring, allowing you to... to fly over the chaos and spread fiery justice on all below.
We gotta explain this, dude.
Yeah, we will.
We're just talking about this off podcast or whatever. How Preparation H actually tried to do a commercial with Ring of Fire from Johnny Cash as the theme song. Of course, the Cash family was like, "No, not gonna happen."
Bunghole of fire. Bunghole of fire.
It burns, burns, burns.
My flaming bunghole.
Ah,
where is my armor? My innis armor. Anyway. Wow, where was I? There is a good amount of cover outside of the ring and two secondary bases on each side of the map. Wow. Stocked with grav lifts to allow easy access to a higher level. Wow.
With air flowing freely out of the grav lifts.
The main bases have a creative passage. between them, and it's worth checking out.
We call it the large intestine for short.
That's called the sphincter packet.
Sphincter of doom.
It closes in at a periodic time.
Oh, man.
Well. Beware of the involuntary sphincter.
Anyway. Wow. I hope you enjoy playing as much as I did creating it. Ring of Fire is located in my file share. And keep on fragging newbie dreamers. Juiced pirates. P.S. Here's a link for the map on VNet. Alright. Well, he gives a link to Bungie.net. You can check that out in the show notes. The game type or map is called Rings of Fire. Ring of Fire. No S. Thank you, Fish.
Dude, it's just like when you read that over again, it's hilarious, dude. He's like, incendiary grenades and man cans surround the ring, allowing you to fly over the chaos and spread fiery justice on all below.
Ah, yeah.
Wow.
The ring of fire. Oh, wow. You gotta play Johnny Cash, man.
Oh, I will, no doubt. Well, that's about time to wrap it up on this show. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But, dude, we have a lot more stuff in the show notes if you guys want to check that out at podtacular.com.
Yes. Yes, please do.
Half of it.
Yes, we apologize because, man, you guys certainly sent in some great Forge tips. But, unfortunately, we have a schedule here, you know?
That we do. We'll send in your comments, et cetera, to podtacular@gmail.com, including your customs and your Forge edits. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show.
And you can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO. That is 206-888-HALO. HALO. And leave a HALO-related message. We play these back regularly on the call-ins and tales from the Foxhole show.
Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com, and while you're there, check out the forums. There's lots of events, projects, and ways to make friends and play Halo with cool people.
And thank you to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal, help out with the hosting bill, digging the podcast on dig.com, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us in iTunes. Couldn't do it without you. Also, thanks to Jason Wang, who donated this week. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, many thanks, awesome. Dude. Shout out to Killazilla also, who runs the Review Frenzy section of Podtacular. And check out the recent Game of the Year awards and his review of Assassin's Creed at podtacular.com.
Yes, and Killazilla is actually doing quite well. He's actually a mod at the tag form, so
nice.
He's doing a lot of good things out there, so keep an eye out on Killazilla. He could be the next big thing. Who knows? Anyway, check out the other shows on the GamerCast Network. Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer, Sarcastic Gamer, Achievement Junkie, and GamerCast Network's very own video game show. And that is GamerCastNetwork.net, right?
.com.
Mm-hmm. I was testing you out.
You got me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thanks for being on the show, True Dark Fusion. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
And where can they find out more about all the, you know, the Forge tutorials, the Forge maps, the video tutorials, all that stuff?
If you go to our homepage, which is forgehub.com, on the left you will see the navigation bar, and Forging 101 is the tutorials. Map gallery are all the maps that were featured on ForgeHub, so these are like the cream of the crop, usually made by staff members or just the best maps posted on ForgeHub. And there's an IRC chat, and if you register on forums, if you can post your own map, it's a pretty constructive community. I have yet to see a post that has gone without at least one reply. It's usually at least like 3 pages per map where we really do some cooperative forging and help each other out.
That's great.
But if you do want to access the forum, we made it registration required because we had some SQL errors before. We're upgrading servers at the moment, so that was able to increase our efficiency by doing that.
Great.
So you do have to register if you want to check us out.
Cool. And please do. These guys do great work.
Yeah, no doubt.
So don't let it go to waste.
All right, well, until next time, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JBB.
I'm True Dark Fusion.
Keep on fragging trucks.
And keep on using Preparation H for the Ring of Fire.
I guess keep on forging.
Yeah, there you go. Keep it nice and simple, man. And straight to the point.
As they say in the Flem Production movies, happy forging.
Happy forging. You forger. Who the forge are you talking to?
Hey, go forge yourself.
Forge, get about it.
See what you did there. Nice.
With all due respect, go forge yourself.
There's only one thing left to say.
Self-splatter.
Hello?
Uh-oh, telephone.
All right, I'll edit that out. Hang on.
Yeah, let's wait till it stops ringing so I could read the next submission.
Move along like I think you should.
Hello, please leave a message. This is an answering machine.
I am a robot. All right.
Okay. Leave a message with my memory unit. I will report to my master as soon as I can.
I have a voice box. Oh, there goes my cell phone.
Oh, man.
Max goes his pager. Do people still have pagers? I don't think
I've seen one like, in a museum or something.
Museum of Asian History, yeah.
All right,
I'm pretty sure, like, the Cro-Magnon, I'm not sure. Though.
I think so. I think it's featured right next to the original wheel.
Here we see fire. Here we see the wheel. Here we see the archaic pager.
Dude, it's funny, man. I used to have, like, back when cell phones, like, were first getting actually, like, to where normal people could use them, like to where they weren't so expensive that only doctors and drug dealers used them. This friend of mine, he gave me this old piece of crap pager that he had. He's like, here, dude, I don't use it. I use a cell phone now. I'm like, oh, sweet, I have a pager. And I had this like giant brick of a pager that I wore so like so proudly on my belt loop and everything. It was massive, dude. It was so huge. It took like 2 or 3 AA batteries, dude, for the...
I remember I was dating this girl. Well, I didn't really date her. She was, she liked me. So one day she shows up in my house, unannounced, and I had gotten into a football injury, and I had a cast from my ankle to middle of my thigh, almost my hip. Yeah, so... She shows up, and I happen to have my friend's beeper on me, and her father comes to pick her up and, you know, introduce me, blah, blah, blah. So when she gets home, she calls me. She goes, my dad doesn't want me seeing you anymore. He says you have a beeper and you're a drug dealer. And I'm like, yes, thank you, Dad. You're awesome. And I'm like, well, you got to listen to your father. I don't want no trouble.
This week on the GamerCast Network. On Sarcastic Gamer, Fumo Jive joins the crew as they discuss Fox News' outstanding coverage of the Mass Effect sex scandal and an interview with Guitar Hero Tipper Queen. This week on Uncle Gamer, find out if alien sex in Mass Effect is all it's cracked up to be. The Samurais of the Sonic Stage sojourn on the Sunday Shift in the Video Game Show, Episode 74. This week, Gamertag Radio interviews the developers of Penny Arcade's new game, On the Rain Slick, Precipice to Darkness, Episode 1. Go to Podtacular for all the news from the unofficial Halo universe. On Achievement Junkie, check in with Nelson and Natalie as they help you take your gamer score to the next level. Discover the website that brings you all these great episodes and headlines at GamerCastNetwork.com.